Welcome to the Stepmomming Made Easy podcast. I'm your host, Kristen Skiles. Stepmomming is a wild ride, but you don't have to go it alone anymore. I'm here to give you validating insights and powerful shifts to build a stepmom life you love. This is your safe space. Welcome home, my friend.
Hello, and welcome to the Stepmomming Made Easy podcast. I am so excited that you did not miss this episode, y'all. I am more excited than I've ever been for an episode. I am joined by such a special guest. Hello, Dr. Peppernow.
Hello, I'm glad to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited. You are the leading research expert, the leading guru on step families, and what an honor to be in the same room and have a discussion with you.
Well, thank you.
I'm so excited. I had a topic in mind and you came back and you were like, no, this is what we need to talk about. And I'm so glad you did because I think it's going to be so helpful for everyone. We're going to talk about five of the most common challenges in step families and what works and what doesn't work when it comes to overcoming those challenges.
Yep.
That's awesome. I'm so excited. Before we dive in, though, what I would love to do is read your bio. If you'll give me just a minute, let's introduce you to anybody who may not know your full background. Dr. Patricia Peppernow is an internationally recognized expert on stepfamilies. She teaches all over the U.S. and the world about best practices for meeting stepfamily challenges, integrating the now considerable research with her own 4+ decades of clinical work. She loves putting this good information into the hands of people in stepfamilies. Patricia has written dozens of articles and book chapters and has authored the leading books in the field, Surviving and Thriving in Stepfamily Relationships, What Works and What Doesn't, and with Karen Bonnell, The Stepfamily Handbook, From Dating to Getting Serious to Forming a Blended Family. She is the recipient of awards for distinguished contribution to family psychology from the American Psychological Association and the award for distinguished contribution to family therapy theory and practice from the American Family Therapy Academy. You are so impressive.
Well, thank you.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you here. I read Surviving and Thriving in Stepfamily Relationships years ago now, and it was so helpful to me. Reading your research, I have a sociology background, and so getting to read the research in that way was really refreshing to me.
I don't get tired of hearing that this book is helpful because I'm not a researcher. I'm a clinician, but I read the research and still read it, and it's not taught to clinicians. So I'm so glad that it's useful. I really, that's why I did it.
I love it so much. I will make sure to link both of your books in our show notes for everyone because it really is just so helpful. And it's, not only does it give us steps forward, but it's also so validating of our experience.
Yes, because step families are a fundamentally different structure from a first-time partner family, and the information is still not out there. That's why I'm so glad to be here. The information is still not out there about how different it is. And so if you go in with a first-time family map, it's like you're trying to drive around New York City with a map of Indianapolis. You have a lot of accidents and you get mad at each other and you feel terrible and your car gets banged up.
Yes, that's a beautiful analogy because it's just not going to work. You need a different skill set. You need a different set of tools. Why are these different structures? Why are they so different?
I think the first thing to understand is something we call attachment. And attachment is that connection between a parent and a child. In a first-time family, the adults have some time together to get to know each other. They have some time to sort of hang out in that wonderful, delicious sense of connection and gaga-ing at each other. And time to even learn things like, I don't like the way he stacks the dishwasher. So every time he stacks the dishwasher, I restack the dishwasher. Now, the first 3 times that happened, I'm a little irritated. You know, now it's 2 years later, and that's just how it is. You know, though a first-time couple have that under their belts, and a new child is born into that connection, and really important for our story, a new child in a first partner family is hardwired for attachment to both parents and vice versa. So in a first-time couple, both parents have that experience of holding this little baby and just, you know, looking at them, watching them, cleaning their poop, and adoring them. And both parents are hardwired for attachment to that child. And as time goes on, maybe another child is born into the family. And if things are going well, those attachment connections strengthen and deepen and build a sense of trust. And those sense of how we do things kind of build up over time. But when there's a divorce or a split, now children are part of two single parent families in the United States anyway. They usually have time with both parents. And a new step parent enters as an outsider to all of that.
Yeah.
And that's what makes such a different structure. And that's what makes those five challenges. Shall I say what the five challenges are?
Yes, please list them for us.
Okay. Five challenges. The first is, and this is because the attachment in a step family is between the parents and children, and the shared sense of how we do things is between the parents and children, and often between this parent and the other parent outside the household. And the children also have attachment to that other parent outside the household. So every time a child walks into the room, step parents are stuck outsiders, parents are stuck insiders. That's the first challenge. The second challenge is that children feel very differently about a step family than the first time family. Children in a step family often struggle with loss, with loyalty binds, and with too much change too fast. That's the second challenge. The third challenge is that parenting and step parenting are very different. Who knew? And parents and step parents often get divided over discipline. And we know a lot about what works and what doesn't. We'll come back to that. And the fourth challenge is we have to make a new family culture in the presence of already existing cultures. And in fact, we have two houses of culture. We've got our house and your house and the other house. And how do we make a sense of us while still respecting what's already here? And the fifth challenge is in a step family, there is another parent, dead or alive, wonderful or horrible. Who is a permanent part of the family.
Yeah. I appreciate you taking kind of every challenge that we face as stepmoms and really boiling it down to these five things, because really everything that we feel can be brought back to one of these five points. And it's so helpful to validate and normalize these struggles. When I first became a stepmom, I felt awful for everything that I was experiencing. I thought I was the only one in the world who ever felt this way. And I hadn't found you yet. I hadn't found your research. And I thought that I was doing it wrong. I was looking at my map of Indianapolis, wondering why I wasn't ending up at the Empire State Building.
Yep. So I'm going to quote you on that. Wonderful. Yep.
So let's start with the beginning. Let's talk about this outsider syndrome, these feelings of being a stuck outsider while the other parents are stuck insiders. What are some tips for overcoming this and trying to be brought to the inside?
Well, I think the first thing is to really turn towards the fact of outsiderness. It's structural. Children are hardwired to need comfort and soothing from their parents. The parent is the secure base. So that if you are the step parent and I'm the parent and we're talking, you finally got a moment alone with me and you got my full attention. My daughter's on the bus and she made the soccer team or she didn't make the soccer team. It's big news. She bursts in through the door. The person she wants to share this news with, that she needs to share this news with, is her parent, me. So she bursts in through the door, mommy, mommy, mommy. And I'm a good parent. I turn towards her. And when I turn towards my child, I must turn away from you. in a first-time family, even if the kids came in saying, mommy, mommy, daddy, daddy would have, or the other mommy, would have had that experience of holding that baby, would know that they're going to get theirs at another time. But in a step-parent, this happens over and over and over and over again. And we aren't wired for this. There's a guy named Stephen Porges. He's a neurobiologist, I think. He says that we are neuroceptively wired, meaning wired just below awareness, to expect people close to us to turn towards us. And when they turn away, it's very dysregulating. And it happens over and over to a stepmom. And to know, and the feelings you have are jealousy, rejection, invisibility. These are nobody's favorite feelings. Yeah. And then when you're the stuck outsider, when you speak up later, even if you do it skillfully, you say, honey, I need a hug. Your partner is the stuck insider. That was a hard afternoon. Hard? What was hard? It's my kid. What's your problem? And the thing with a stuck insider is you turn towards your partner, your kid, and you've turned away from your partner and they're upset. You turn towards your partner and your kid feels left. You try to make peace with your ex-wife or ex-husband and your partner's upset. So you're a stuck insider. No matter what you do, somebody important to you is upset with you. And that's very anxiety provoking and easy to get defensive. So if this goes well, later on, you, stepmom, are going to say, I need a hug. That was a hard afternoon. I, parent, am going to say, oh, it was? What was hard? Well, we were talking, and when she came in, you turned away. Now, I'm going to feel a little defensive, but if I do this well, I'm going to take a breath, turn towards you, and say, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, I get it. Now, very easy for you. You've just been rejected. This does not bring the best out of most of us. Easy for you to say, you did it again. Mm-hmm. And how likely, as the already anxious and defensive stuck insider, am I to say, did what? It's my kid. What's your problem? So the first thing is, it's normal. It's hard. And parents and step-parents sit in very different experience. And part of what step-parents have to learn to do is reach, mm-hmm. as opposed to clobber or withdraw. I need a hug is going to more likely get a hug than, why'd you do that to me? Mm-hmm. And parents have to take a breath and sort of ride through their defensiveness. And when that happens, parents and step-parents can then, you know, we can talk tonight, go to sleep holding each other. We can wake up tomorrow morning and talk some more. And eventually I, the insider parent, can say, oh, you know what? I felt so bad. I felt so good. And then I felt so bad. And over time, we can both hold both.
I love that so much. When you started to say we have to recognize that step-parents will always be outsiders, I could feel myself getting a little defensive. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't want to be an outsider. Am I an outsider? And then you start talking more and more. And I was like, well, yeah, I am. Because Krista is always going to turn to her dad first.
Yeah.
And that's natural. And I encourage that. I think I've found a way to embrace where I am on the totem pole, that it doesn't feel
as bad.
Yeah.
And it has it's not a meaning about you. The other thing is, there are some concrete things that help. One thing that helps, that word, that phrase, blended family, would make you believe that if we all hung out together, this insider outsider stuff would go away, but it actually gets worse. So when we're all together. So a lot of one-to-one time helps. We do need to spend time together to do fun things and get to know each other and make some little rituals that are ours. And stepmom, you need time alone with your partner, mm-hmm. where the kids aren't there, where your partner can pay full attention. Parents need time alone with their kids. We'll talk about that in a moment. And step-parent, you feel free. Go play volleyball. Go join a canasta club. Go knit. Go put on your earphones and listen to something that your husband hates that you love. Turn away. And some people would say that's not family-like. Well, it's step-family. Take care of yourself. And here's one other thing, and we'll get to this more in a bit. Step parents also need one-to-one time with their step kids, but we'll come back to that.
Yes. I know we're going to come back to it, but you discussing these little different pockets of time and how we have to separate our time as a step family and be very intentional about that in a step family dynamic. I can absolutely see how the more time that I spent with my husband and the more time I spent with my stepdaughter individually, instead of in that family unit, how that absolutely made me feel more like an insider mm-hmm. and less defensive of my position or enoughness in this family.
Exactly. So when you're with your husband alone, he can turn to you and pay full attention. And I can't tell you how often a step-parent would say to me, I had a good weekend with my step-kid. And I would say, push your partner away. Yeah, how'd you know?
Yeah.
Because when your partner's there, the parent-child relationship trumps, it's stronger, and the step-parent's an outsider.
Yeah.
So that's wonderful.
Love that. Love that so much. So this is something massive. Your second point on this list is talking about children struggling with losses, loyalty binds, the pace of change, all of these things. What are some tips for helping the children, especially as a stepmom? How can we cope with all of this?
Well, I think the first thing to know is that kids often feel very differently about step families than the adults do. I mean, what's better than finding the love of your life? You know, the adults are thrilled. And because of that, both parents and step parents often are really not aware that a new step family, actually, the research is sometimes harder than divorce for kids. And there are a couple of reasons for that. One is that it is yet one more change on top of change. And as the amount of change goes up, kids' well-being goes down. The other is that we have study after study that when parents recouple, kids lose attention and time with their parents at the very moment of a big transition where they really need parents. And this is not because parents are bad people. It's because when you're in love, adults are just as gaga as kids. It's real easy to be, you know, sitting at the table with your kid. It's your night with your kids and you're texting your sweetie. It's real easy once a partner moves in. This is a new relationship. It takes a lot of energy. Plus, your partner's an outsider and has some feelings about that. So parents are a little busy with that. Plus, you're busy with a new relationship. So that one-to-one time we were just talking about is especially important to really soften that sense of loss. And the other thing is that the adults are thrilled and often really want to move forward really fast. Feels good to the adults, and it's often too much change too fast for kids. And something that they've learned actually in the business world is that change goes better when you tell kids what won't change. When there are some clear things that won't change, you will still have your shower curtain with the ducks, and daddy and you and daddy, and we'll still have hamburgers on Wednesday nights when we always did. And I will still love you, and mommy will still love you. That helps with change. Loyalty binds. Loyalty bind is if I care about my stepmom, I am disloyal to my mom. And loyalty binds seem to be almost built into humans. Over time, they soften when all the adults support kids' relationships with all the adults. But we're talking about stepmoms here, when a dad recouples, it's very frightening for a lot of moms. I mean, whoever grew up as a mom expecting to share your kid with a woman you did not choose and you cannot supervise, it can be quite frightening for moms. And if they handle it well, they protect their kids from it. If they don't handle it well, they start bad-mouthing the stepmom or bad-mouthing dad. And sometimes co-parenting relationships that were fairly peaceful before dad recoupled all of a sudden get tense, and high-conflict ones go on steroids. So a loyalty bind may be there. It may soften over time. But if mom is bad-mouthing stepmom, for some kids it may be hard to even look at stepmom without feeling bad. So, and what helps loyalty binds is the adults stop bad-mouthing each other. And if that's not possible, there is something called a loyalty bind talk. helps with not too intense loyalty binds. A loyalty bind talk is you say to your stepkid, you know, it must, some for some kids, and if this is a teenager, you say, you probably already know this. Teenagers like to know, like to be in the know. You probably already know this, but just in case, so you know that I know. For some kids, it can be confusing to have a mom and a stepmom. What I want you to know is that I know your mom has a permanent place in your heart, in your bones, like the mountains, like the sun. And I hope I will be another person in your life who cares about you. And you may or may not care about me. Your dad chose me. You didn't choose me. But even if you start to like me a little bit, I want you to know that human hearts are big and I will be in a different place in your heart from your mommy. Always.
It's such a beautiful sentiment. And sometimes they just need permission to have kid feelings and stop worrying about the adults.
Yeah. And it does help if the loyalty bind is intense to say, you know, that has to be hard for you. Not mom's a terrible person for doing this. That
yes.
tightens the bind. But boy, that must be hard. Mom says you're a witch. Well, wow, that must be confusing. That must be tough when mom says those things. Sometimes it's hard for moms to have stepmoms, you know, and sometimes they say things like that. But that must be confusing for you. So notice I'm calm. I'm not labeling mom at all. I'm acknowledging the feelings. This must be hard. Yeah, she's doing it. But my attention is I'm acknowledging the child's feelings. That must be hard for you.
I love the empathy of that.
Because loyalty binds are very lonely for kids. It's one of the few times that I think individual therapy sometimes gets overused when in fact it needs to be, the adults need to be involved. But if it's a very high conflict situation, individual therapy with a good therapist can really be helpful to a kid to have one place where I can tell my whole story and somebody gets it and somebody can help me figure out how to cope.
And I don't feel on guard about saying the wrong thing to the wrong parent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
You have taken me back all these years to my little 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old self. And all of these feelings that I experienced, my parents divorced when I was 2. My dad has remarried a few times. I think specifically about his marriage in the beginning of my 3rd grade year. And I needed to hear what won't change. I needed to hear that. I needed permission, or if not permission to release the loyalty bind, then at least validation that it was really tough.
What would have been helpful to hear for you about what won't change?
I needed to know I wasn't going to lose my dad. I was terrified, and it didn't help that soon after they got married, he got a dream offer job in Indianapolis, actually. And I was in Texas. And so he moved across the country and they proceeded to have children. And I was so concerned I was going to be replaced by his wife and then by subsequent children. Mm. I needed to know my place in his life was irreplaceable. Mm. And I'm sure he tried his best to convey that. I'm sure. But it didn't hit right, or it didn't hit enough. Or,
right.
Yeah. I always try to give my clients kind of the holistic view of every situation and try to put myself in the kids' shoes, which is what we're doing right now. And why are they struggling? What is it that they're experiencing? And I think this is invaluable to make sure that we include this as one of the struggles, because while it's not specifically our struggle, it's a struggle in the step family that impacts us.
Well, often kids are rejecting of step parents because they're missing their parent, because of a loyalty bind, because it's too much change too fast. And to treat that, often what I will hear from adults is this child is manipulative, meaning we're sitting on the couch, stepmom and dad, and the child comes and sits between us. Well, that's actually not manipulative. That's, I need my dad. Mm-hmm. And so having some understanding of the feelings underneath can help. It is still hard. I mean, I remember a moment when the beginning of my relationship with my second husband, we were in his house, and it was the house that he had had his family in, and his ex-wife came over, his daughter, who at that time was probably 17 or 18, was hanging out with us, being really friendly. Her mother came over, and as soon as her mother came over, my stepdaughter turned her back on me. I understood completely exactly what she was doing, that she had to protect her mother. I totally got it. And I was so, it was so powerful. I could barely speak for a couple of days to her. And it was actually illuminating for me, you know, that getting where it's coming from helps some. It certainly helped me get over it in 3 days, but it doesn't change that feeling of being shunned. It's horrible. You need a lot of support if you have a kid who can't turn towards you.
Absolutely. You know, we hear all the time, two things can be true. Well, three, four, five things can be true. We can all be in the same room for the same experience. And you can totally understand why she's doing that, but you can also feel totally rejected and be right in those feelings.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Parenting.
Let's talk parenting. Oh my gosh.
This is such an important one.
Huge.
Because we now know a lot about what works and what doesn't for step parents, step parenting, parenting and discipline and step families. So here's what we know. We know that parents need to retain the disciplinary role. Step parents need to focus on, I call it connection, not correction. Now, that isn't what people who come into a family expect. Adult expects to discipline a kid. And let's add that I've now taught all over the world. Step-parents all over the world want more limits and boundaries with their kids, their stepkids. And parents all over the world want more love and understanding with their kids. That's because of that attachment thing. And also because of the shared understandings. I mean, it was fine with me that my daughter stood in front of the refrigerator and fed herself as a single parent. My husband thought that was terrible. Oh, that's great. to give discipline over to your partner when your stepkid is doing things that are upsetting is hard. When that goes well, step-parents can often help parents to firm up a little, and parents can help step-parents to soften up a little bit. So step-parents need to focus on getting to know this kid. They need to focus on relationships, not rules. And this is where one-to-one time really helps. Find something you and your stepkid both like. Maybe you both love chocolate cake, so teach your stepkid how to make a chocolate cake. Or maybe dad loves chocolate cake, and you and stepson can make chocolate cake for his birthday. Then this often happens that stepkids are really into video games, and people in the next generation up are not so. Well, take a breath, sit down and say, tell me about this. What's cool about this? It's really foreign to me. And let your stepkid show you how it works. You both love to play basketball? Play basketball. Find some things to do together. And what we know is step-parents may be outsiders. They may be new on the block. However, step-parent roles are really important. They're positive step-parent. Step-child relationships are linked to much better health and much better mental health. And negative step-parent, step-child relationships are linked to much poorer physical and mental health. And the other thing we know, we're learning is, this is new, that there is a huge range of positive step-parent relationships, from very intimate, emotionally connected, slightly more likely if the kid was really young, 8 and under, to very involved with academics and homework. A lot of step parents get in that way. To fairly casual, but warm and caring. Maybe we play a game. To schlepper. I'm the schlepper. I schlep the kids. I take them to music lessons. Lots and lots of different roles. And as long as they're positive, kids do better. And their positive step-parent, step-child relationship can really ease the transition into step-family as well. So step-parents, being an outsider is tough, and you're an important player in this family. Really important. The very, very most toxic thing for step parents is the easiest, and that is, it's called authoritarian parenting. Harsh, firm, demanding. You will do this or else. That turns out to be linked to much poorer step-parent, step-child relationships, even in cultures that accept and value authoritarian parenting. Authoritarian step-parenting just doesn't fly. And it, you know, as you build a trusting, caring relationship with a step-kid, you may slowly move into what we call authoritative parenting, which is warm and caring and also firm, but leading with warmth. But even authoritative limit setting, gee, honey, you need to take the trash out, too early sometimes doesn't fly. It doesn't mean you have to be silent, though. But if you're going to speak, you have to speak in a way that is making relationship, not making rules. So making rules is you will take that trash out now. I'm the adult. Making relationship is, you know what? I'd love it if you take the trash out. I mean, whoever wants to take trash out, but I'd love it if you take the trash out.
Yeah.
You will treat me with respect. That's authoritarian. You know what? You didn't choose me. Your dad chose me. I'd sort of like it if we just said hello and looked each other in the eye. It'd look a long time. It'd be just a short time. But how about we just say hello? Those are all, I'd love it if, it would help me a lot if, those kind of sentence stems help a lot.
Yeah, I love this so much. I have quoted you thousands of times probably on connection before correction, but I also love relationships, not rules.
Mm. That's my friend Beverly Reifman. She gets credit for it.
I love it.
Best friend who's a stepmom.
We all need one of those.
Yes.
You talk about finding these ways to connect with our stepkids. And the one I share with my clients all the time is find a TikTok. Even if you don't think it's funny, your stepkids probably will, and just send it to them. And Krista loves to do this. She just went back to her mom's house a couple days ago, and she ended up texting. We have a group chat with my husband, and texted us a bunch of videos. And it's just a way for us to connect in her language, in her world, that I don't always get. I don't think they're funny all the time. But
well, and the first thing is, one of the things that you can do one-to-one is get your stepkid to teach you something that you're a technical idiot about. So the first thing is, get your stepkid to teach you what TikTok is.
Yes.
And then send them a TikTok. I love that. Oh, I'm going to keep that. That's wonderful.
I love it.
And it's light. You know, it's not heavy. Yes. That's wonderful.
And you don't even have to be in the same room, but you can still connect through it.
Yeah. That's great.
I appreciate also your scripts for us when we're talking about how can we have some sort of authority in this relationship, not rules.
Some voice.
Yes.
Some voice. How to have a voice in a way that makes relationship. This is a brand new relationship and this is a kid. Yep.
Yeah. The one that I've been doing recently, Krista absolutely hates making her lunch. I make it so easy for her. I buy all her favorite foods, but she hates it. And I'm not a huge fan of emptying the dishwasher. So last week I was like, hey, honey, will you do me a favor? I'll trade you. If you'll empty the dishwasher, I'll make your lunch. And she can say no. Of course she can. And I'll do the dishes. But she was like, oh, yeah, no. Definitely. I'll definitely trade you.
That's great. That's wonderful.
It's easier for me because we have an established relationship. Obviously, we're close. And I told you before we hit record, I met her when she was 4. So I had everything working in my favor. But it's just another one of those ways that I've done this in phrasing
this. Right. That was relationship building. Not you will make your lunch or else.
Yes.
Right. Exactly.
I grew up in a house that was very authoritarian, and you do what you're told, and you do it the first time, and you don't ask questions. Mm-hmm. And I learned very quickly coming into this family, that that's never going to work for us.
And so what's important is you learned, because what some people do is double down, you know, yes. But you learned. Good for you.
Thank you. Okay. Can we talk about
worst challenge culture?
Yes.
The story I always tell about this one is it's your first Christmas and stepmom is decorating the tree and she puts white lights on it. Beautiful, lovely white lights. Stepdaughter looks at the tree, takes one look, bursts into tears, goes to her room and slams the door. Now, if this went badly, stepmom could say she ruined Christmas. Dad actually knows that the reason the kid is upset is she's used to colored lights, but dad gets frozen. If it goes really badly, the kid calls her mother and says, "You won't believe what my sister did." And the mother says, "That witch." That's if it goes badly. If it goes well, dad gives stepmom a hug out of the eyesight of other kids. Turns out physical contact has to be private. What parents often say is, "I'm teaching my kids what a good relationship looks like." But it turns out that physical contact for kids, most kids anyway, intensifies losses and loyalty binds and is too much change. So pull stepmom into a closet, give her a hug, and dad goes to his daughter's room, sits down, and dad, if it goes badly, says, "What's your problem?" It's just Christmas tree lights. But if it goes well, he puts his arm around her and says, "Oh, you want a colored lights?" That was one too many changes. And she cries and cries until, if he really gets it, she calms down. And maybe they all sit down in the kitchen and have cocoa. And maybe they tell each other stories about Christmas because they didn't grow up with Christmas together. And that in the step family, got to tell each other these stories. So one of the lessons that I teach is that that word blended family makes you imagine you could just all of a sudden blend. And there are step families that come together fairly quickly, especially if kids are young and parents in both households are really, really supportive. But I really think step families are less like blending blueberries and strawberries and making a smoothie. It's a lot more like bringing Japanese and Italians together and saying, "Oh, make a family." And it means we're going to do a lot of, I call it learning by goofing, because we don't know each other's cultures. I didn't know you loved colored lights. And learning by goofing is a tough way to learn because it makes a big spike of upset. And to know, to be able to say, "Oh, this was a goof," and let the spike go by. And then later to come back and say, "Looks like I just learned something about Christmas lights." And the other thing is that even over a long period of time, most step families, there are things that are ours and there are things that are yours and things that are mine. And the story that I often tell is our refrigerator. My husband's last name is Goldberg. And we got together when my daughter was 12. So she looks in our refrigerator and she looks and says, "Goldberg, Goldberg, Goldberg, Goldberg." That is the red meat, the whole milk, the butter. And she looks and says, "Papernel, Papernel, Papernel, Papernel." The whole vegetable drawer, the whole fruit drawer, the skim milk, the yogurt, and it's skim yogurt, of course, and low-fat mayonnaise, and the Goldberg is, quote, real mayonnaise. That was our first year. My daughter, when we got together, was a pure vegetarian in the way that a 13-year-old girl can be. Pure tofu. That was her entire protein. Well, by about year three, he started to eat chicken. She kind of grew out of her tofu and started to eat fish and chicken. She went to Iowa for college and learned to eat red meat. You know, we're in year 27. Now you look at our refrigerator. The vegetable drawer, Papernel. All Papernel. He still doesn't eat vegetables. He does eat fruit. There is both red meat and white meat. I've eaten more red meat since I met him than in my entire life before that. But he eats more white meat than in his entire life times two. We still have low-fat mayonnaise and, quote, real mayonnaise. So there are a lot of things that are now us, and there are things that are him and things that are me. And that's still true.
And there's beauty in that. There's beauty in not having to change who you are.
Right.
Just for your family relationship.
You know what? This is a fun story. I'll tell you. My daughter is an Easterner. I was born in California, but my daughter was raised here in Boston. And my husband and my daughter had a very rough start. They had a 3-month period where they were not speaking to each other. It was horrible. And we moved into a house that was my husband's and mine. And we had to make wallpaper. We had to wallpaper the dining room. Now, if you've ever looked at a wallpaper book, they're horrible. The expensive ones are nice, but the ones that we could afford were so ugly. I wanted to paint the room like a beautiful sort of southwestern color. And he wanted wallpaper. And the wallpaper he wanted was a dark teal with garlands and urns. And my daughter at that time was away at school. She came downstairs like she was very depressed, like emanating dark waves. The wallpaper book is sitting on the dining room table. She leafs through it and she says, "I like that one." And guess which one it was? It was the one my husband liked, because she and he are both Easterners. And brilliant person that I am, I said, "Oh, I have an opportunity here." So I said, "Oh, no, I don't like that. I don't like that at all." And the two of them started teaming up with each other. And I made them do it about 4 rounds. And then I said, "Okay, I will deal with this teal dark wallpaper with garlands and urns if you two will talk." And they said, "Okay." They were ready. They didn't have a way. And they went in the living room, and the dining room was between. I couldn't listen without, I was trying to listen from the kitchen because I couldn't listen without being seen. She apparently said to him, "You're not my father." Now, how many times had I said to my daughter, "You have a father. Steve is going to be a different person in your life. You're not my father." And Steve said, "I know, sweetie. I'm not your father." They had to have that conversation between the two of them. Mm-hmm. And after that, they teamed up with each other on my clothes, on light fixtures, and you name it. About year 3, I finally had to say, "Okay, guys, enough."
Back to not talking.
You've done it.
They needed some sort of common ground, and that became you.
Yeah. That's exactly right. They're Eastern, shared Eastern taste. And who knew, right? I hadn't even thought about that. So let's squeeze in the 5th challenge, which is a big one.
Yes.
There's another parent in the other house. And let's also acknowledge for that other parent, there is now an entire family over there when there was just an ex-spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And what we know is that the most strong predictor of well-being, of poor well-being in kids is not divorce. It's not step families. It's not single parent families. It's adult tension and conflict. And the best predictor of well-being in kids is feeling that they can care about all of the adults in their lives and their adults care about them, and authoritative, warm and calmly firm parenting. So we got to protect kids from tension. And if you and your ex can't do a pickup without tension, then have the, you know, you drop off in the morning and your ex picks up in the afternoon.
Limit the contact, limit the opportunity for the conflict. Absolutely.
And if you have to go back to court, if this is a high conflict relationship, you want the orders to be as specific and detailed as possible. And it may not be exactly what you want, but it will actually protect you from some conflict.
Absolutely. I always find, in more often than not, it seems like our first draft is usually too vague for many of us, because you don't know what you don't know. And then you go back and it's like, okay, I need specifics on all of these things. And that really does help protect you from a lot of the conflict.
It's hard to predict some of them. You know, I've started talking to people who do a lot of work with judges and family lawyers with kids and families in the courts. There's one called right of first refusal. Dad has to travel, Mom gets right of first refusal. Well, now that makes sense if there's no step parent involved. But remember, one of the things we just talked about is step parents alone with their step kids is an incredibly important time for relationship building. So once a step parent enters, unless it's a really toxic relationship, right of first refusal should be if both are away.
Right.
But how can predict that? Who can predict that?
No.
It's one of the things lawyers need to know about.
And I mean, who could have predicted COVID in 2020 how that could have affected custody and transitions and things of that nature? It's remarkable the different ways that anything that happens can affect our step-family dynamic. It's very precious.
It's really true. It's really true. And there are a lot of turning points. There's, you know, I wrote a book called Stages of Development and Becoming a Stepfamily. That was my first book. And I had a developmental stage model that people love. But it turns out, as comforting as that model is, there are turning points all through the relationship. And there are positive and negative turning points. There are step-parent, step-child relationships that, you know, you've been with this kid since they were 10, but she's 18 and her boyfriend broke up with her. And you, the stepmom, are the perfect person for her to talk to. And that turns the relationship. Because mom is too involved, dad too dumb. And bad things can happen. Our family got in year 27 split apart by vaccination. You know, one parent chose not and all the others did and split right on step family lines. It was very painful. You're 27.
Another one of those things that we just couldn't anticipate.
Exactly. Yeah.
I have always said that my role is evolving and it can vary by the week what my stepdaughter needs from me. And
What are some examples of how it's varied for you?
There are times when she's in eighth grade right now, 13, when there are things going on with her friends that she either really wants to talk to me and really wants my advice, or really wants to talk to her mom and wants her mom's advice. And it's not usually both of us.
Interesting. And so she sort of goes back and forth. Yes. She's got a choice. You go, girl.
And the times when she is seeking more of that from her mom, I have to take that back seat. And I have to be okay with reevaluating and showing up differently. Mm-hmm. And then when she's needing more from me, if I'm able to, I give her as much as I can and step into that. This last weekend, I told you at the time of this recording, we're due in about 8 weeks with our first son. And so we are being so intentional about spending time with her and giving her energy while we have it. So this last weekend, I took her for a little girl's date. We just went to Target and shopped for a couple hours and got ice cream. Very easy bonding with a 13-year-old girl. And she loved that. She loved the no pressure kind of outing. I'm not expecting her to show up in a certain way. I'm not expecting anything energetically from her in that outing. And that was really, really great for us. But if I had pressured her to sit down face to face for some sort of activity.
I call it shoulder to shoulder.
Yes, you do. I quote that. Yes.
Sweet. And you know, you can tell her that's one of the things that won't change, that we will still go to Target and get ice cream. Daddy will take care of the baby.
Yes. And, you know, your things that won't change, that's something that we really need to be intentional about. I try to tell her a lot of things will change, but I don't want this to change. We just went to, on Friday, she was off school. So we went to lunch as a family of three. And I said, guys, whether it's us going out to eat or if we play a video game or if we watch our show or whatever it is, I just want there to be something that stays the same for us. Nice. But being really clear about this won't change. I love that framework.
And you intuitively have come to it.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Well,
it's what I needed. Mm-hmm. Back to our earlier conversation about when my dad got remarried or had kids. That's
so you had some information about what was needed.
Yeah. I have absolutely loved this conversation. Diving into each of the five challenges, is there anything we're missing? Anything we need? Any little nugget we need to leave anybody with?
We've done good.
I so appreciate you being here. Oh my gosh, this has been incredible. What is the best way that our audience can get in touch with you, learn more about you and the work that you do?
Well, my website is stepfamilyrelationships.com. But there are not very many Papernows around. If you Google Patricia Papernow, it looks like paper now, you'll find my website. And I have two books. One is Surviving and Thriving in Stepfamily Relationships. It's all about stepfamilies. And then the book with Karen Bunnell, The Stepfamily Handbook. Surviving and Thriving was written for both stepfamily members and people who want to help. So there's a lot of you get a real sense of what the clinical work looks like. The Stepfamily Handbook is from dating to getting serious to becoming a blended family. Much more breezy, more written for the public, starts earlier. They're both really good books. They're different. Get them both.
Absolutely. Yeah. I will link both of those and your website in the show notes for everyone to find easily.
And if you don't like to read, two things. Both of those books are on audio tape. And on my website, there are a bunch of videos. There's some really short ones, like a couple minutes. There's an hour long one that people like. And there are podcasts and interviews like this one that you can listen to.
Brilliant.
I'll put this one up too. Yeah. Right with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so, so much for taking the time to be here, for all of the work you have done for stepfamilies and for sharing it all with us. I'm so appreciative of you.
And thanks for bringing it out into the world. I love it. It's wonderful.
Good.
Hey, take care.
Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Stepmomming Made Easy podcast. I will see you right back here next week.